Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf lamed vav. We're going to start on daf lamed hey amud beis, about five lines from the bottom. So if you recall, what we were talking about yesterday was the question that when you go to a chacham, when you go to someone to release someone from a neder, the question is, do you have to articulate to the person to whom you're going to release the neder all of the circumstances surrounding the neder? And we had a machlokas between Rav Papa, who said that you do, and Rav Nachman, who said that you don't. And the Rav Nachman's rationale was that by giving some detail, you actually could be hurting yourself because the chacham will be matered on that basis without knowing all of the facts, and therefore the hatara would not be effective. So that's what we learned yesterday. So the Gemara brings Tanan, five lines up. We learned in the Mishnah, Hanosei Nashim Ba'Aveira, someone who married women Ba'Aveira. So this is talking about a kohen who marries a woman who is not permitted to him in his status as a kohen. So we're talking basically about a Gerusha Zona Chalala. These women who a kohen is not allowed to marry. So if he's married to one of these women, he cannot do the avoda. He can't do the priestly service. So it says, Hanosei Nashim Ba'Aveira, if someone marries one of these women in sin, pasul atche yider hana, that he is pasul, he's not allowed to perform the Kohanic service until he makes a neder that he will not have hana from that wife. So the basic idea is that the Kohen needs to divorce this woman. But maybe he's, for whatever reason, they couldn't find the person to write the get or whatever it is, and he wants to do the avodah. So what he can do is he can make a neder that he's not going to benefit from that wife. And then he can already do the avoda. And Vitani Allah, we learned the Braisa on this Mishnah, which clarified a little bit, and said, no there, he should make the neder that he's going to not have hana from his wife, Va'oved, he should do the avoda, Yored, he goes down from the Mizbeach, Umagarish, and he divorces her. So basically, you see clearly from that Braisa that he's doing the avoda before, based on this neder, before he actually divorces her. Now, if it's right, you, Rav Nachman, who says that it's not important to explain to the Chacham exactly the circumstances surrounding the neder, so then we should be worried that what's he going to do? He's going to make the neder that I'm not going to be nana for my wife. He's going to go do the avodah, which he wanted to do, and then he'll go to the Chacham and say, I made a neder that I can't be nana for my wife. Can you release the neder? And the Chacham will say yes. So then what's going to happen is that he'll be back together with his wife and he'll have served the avodah. So how can it be an urge versus alternatively, if we say, like Rav Papa, that someone needs to articulate to the Chacham exactly what were the circumstances under which he made the neder. So if it's explained to the Chacham that he made the neder so that he could do the avodah, and that he'll have to divorce his wife afterwards, then obviously the Chacham is not going to release the neder because he's abusing the process. So this seems to be a raya, like Rav Papa, that you should have to articulate what it is, why it is that you are, why it is that you made the neder, and therefore the Chacham is able to make a determination whether this is abusive or not. So the Gemara says, as we learned, similar to an answer we learned yesterday, we're now at the top of Lam Vav Amud Aleph, Demadrina Le Barabim. That we make him make the neder in public, meaning with a minion. So basically what happens here, the guy wants to do the avodah, he wants to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, so he has to go make the neder in front of 10 people. If he does it in front of 10 people, he can't do ataras nedarim, and he won't be able to go to the chacham, and therefore we're not worried that he's going to end up staying with his wife, because after he does the avodah, he'll be asur to hanah with her, and he's not going to like that relationship, so he'll divorce her. So the Gemara says, this works well according to the opinion that says that someone who makes a neder berabim, who makes a neder in front of 10 people, has no hafara, meaning that the chacham is not going to and is not able to undo his neder. So then it works well. So he's going to make the neder in front of 10 people, he's going to do the avoda, and then he's going to be forced to divorce her because he can't do ataras nedarim. But according to the one who says that you can, and we encountered this yesterday, Rav Huna was at least one of those who was of the opinion that even if someone makes a neder barabim in front of 10 people, that they can still do ataras nedarim or afaras nedarim. So according to that, what are you going to say? Because he is able, even if he does the neder barabim, to go back and reject the neder, and therefore he's going to end up staying with his wife, who he's living with in sin. So the Gemara answers, the madrinan lay al das rabim. It's not that he did it in public, but he did it al das the rabim, which means that basically he made a neder on al das certain other people. Tosis explains it's not, you can't just say rabim, that he did it on the basis of the public, but the idea is that he included more people in the neder, and he said that his neder is al das, is on the basis of the understanding of these different people. So you could say three, four people, and the point then is that therefore, unless all of them agree to the Pesach, unless all of them agree to the opening you have to address in order to be Mater Neder, that he's not going to be able to be Mater Neder. So what's going to happen here? He may not have to articulate the circumstances under which he made the Neder, but if he makes it Aldas other people, and those people know the circumstance, or you make it al-das enough other people that there's no way you're going to get everyone together to agree. So therefore, he's not going to be able to be made for nether. He's not going to be able to be shol nether. He's not going to be able to get rid of his nether. And so therefore, we're comfortable letting him do the avodah, even though he hasn't yet divorced his wife, but as long as he's made this nether that he won't have anah from her. And where do we see this idea, the madrinan lay al-das rabim, the amar amemar, because amemar says, Hilchasa, the halacha is, afilu l'man damer neder shod b'rabim yesh l'afara, even according to the person who says that if someone makes a neder in front of 10 people, he can still be made for the neder, adas rabim ein lo hafara. Even according to that opinion, if he does it adas rabim on the basis, on the knowledge or the understanding of a rabim, of a multitude of people, ein lo hafara, so it has no hafara. So that's the explanation of why he's able to do the avodah before he divorces her on the basis of this neder, and it's not a question on Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman will tell you, even though he doesn't need to articulate the rationale or the circumstances under which he made the neder, but since it's a neder al-das rabim, he's not going to be able to reject that neder, and therefore we allow him to do the avodah, and we're not worried. Now, the Gemara continues and says, Ohani mili, this that we say that someone that someone who makes a neder al-das rabim cannot be made for it, l'davar harashus. That's if he made a neder that he wasn't going to do something, that he, you know, just something interesting to do. Like if he said, I'm not going to eat cookies anymore, so he can't eat cookies. There's no way to get out of that. Aval dvar mitzvah, but even if he made a neder, al das rabim, if it's for dvar mitzvah, yesh lo hafara. Then it has hafara. So if someone he made a neder, al das rabim, to do a mitzvah, and that neder gets in the way of a mitzvah, he can do afara. And Tosos explains, he says, "Aval dvar mitzvah yesh l'afara." Om Rabbeinu Tam mishum de mestama nichaluhu l'rabim mishum mitzvah. He says because presumably he made this neder al das rabim. So let's say he made it al das five people. All of those five people really want him to do a mitzvah. So if it's a mitzvah, he can be made for a neder even if it was done al das rabim, because the rabim that he made the neder on their das would want him to do a mitzvah. And the Gemara brings an example of this.
Does he need to go to a Chacham?
I'm sorry?
Does he need to go to a Chacham?
Yes, of course he needs to go to a Chacham. But the question is, normally when he goes to the Chacham, if he did it al das rabim, the Chacham would say, you have to get all of those people to say that they agree with this Pesach. But if it's a Pesach for a Dvar Mitzvah, we assume, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that all of them would give their consent, and therefore the Chacham would be Mater Neder. Okay, and we bring a story, which we won't comment on its relevance in some circumstances. Yahu Makri Dardiki, the Adre of Acha Das Rabim, that there was a Makri Dardiki, is someone who would read to the children, a teacher of children, that Rav Acha made him make a neder al Das Rabim, that he would not have Hanah from anything if he would teach children anymore. Basically, he was trying to keep him away from the children. Rashi says, why? Because Chov Tan Yosu Midai, he used to hit them. He used to hit them too much, so he was an abusive teacher. Davi Pasha Biyanuki, he was being negligent with the children. V'yahadri Ravina d'lo ishtachech t'daich kavaseh. But then Ravina ended up being matir that neder, even though it was al-das rabim, because they couldn't find anyone who was a good teacher like him. So they decided they would live with his hitting the kids, because he was uniquely skilled at being a Rebbe. But the long and short of it is that Rav Acha had made him make a neder al das rabim because he wanted him to keep him away from the kids. But then Ravina realized that they needed this teacher, so he was able to be mater neder Because it was a Dvar Mitzvah. So this is an example. What is that? Yes. Okay. Fine. Okay, so there we are. Fine. So we said in the Mishnah, if you remember, our Mishnah was detailing a number of things that were done for Tikkun Olam. Excuse me, for the betterment of society. And one of those things was that we said that the Edom signed the get. Edom Chosman al get. So now the Gemara says, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, is that because of Tikkun Olam? The Oraisa who? That's the Oraisa. Now when it says the Oraisa, it's not really, it doesn't mean from the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, it's talking about from Tanakh, and sometimes that's referred to as the Oraisa. Where do we see this? We encountered this a couple of weeks ago. Dechsiv v'chasuv b'sefer v'chasum. This is talking about by Yirmiyah. If you remember when Tzidkiyahu locked up Yirmiyah, and then this was before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Eretz Yisrael and took them into Golos, and Yirmiyah had a nevuah that he should buy the field from his cousin Hanamel, and basically what happened was they went through a series of things, and this was really, it seemed for Klal Yisrael, was a message that even though Nebuchadnezzar is coming and is going to destroy Eretz Yisrael, you should still go buy fields and you should be careful with the documentation. You should put it in the pottery. This is all things we've drawn on for different purposes over the years. But in any event, it says, and you should write it in the sefer, meaning this deed that you do, v'chasim, and you should sign it. So what do you see? You see that something that's called a sefer, something that's a document, needs to be signed. And we know that a get, we say v'chasiv la sefer krisos, you write for her a sefer of krisos. So therefore, you see a sefer is something that needs to be signed. So why are you telling me that they made a takana for Tikkun Olam, that you should sign it? We see from Tanakh that when you make a document, you need to sign it. So Amar Rabba says, Lo Tzricha, we need it, L'Rebbe Elazar. So we've encountered this Machlokas Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar says that the critical thing when you give a get is that the Ede Mesira Karsi, that the people who watch the man give the get to his wife are the critical Edim, not the ones who sign, they don't need to sign. So what he's saying is, according to Rabbi Elazar, who says, the Amar, who says Edim Asira Karsi, that it's the Edim who watch you hand it over that actually cut the marriage. So therefore, he does not hold that it's an obligation. Takinu Rabbanan Edei Chasima Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So to that opinion, the opinion that says you don't, that the critical factor is handing it over, so they made a Tikkun Olam, that you need the signatures of the Edim. Why? The Zimnan Demaisi Sadi, because sometimes what's going to happen, the Edim are going to die. So there are Edim, there are two Edim. The critical thing is that two Edim need to watch the man give the get to the wife, or the Shliach to the wife, or the Shliach to the Shliach. But what happens if those people die? Now, if the husband is Ma'arer on the get, if he raises an issue and says, I never gave her get, there aren't two witnesses to bring. Whereas, if there was signatures on the get, they can always certify those signatures and understand that there was a valid divorce here. Inami zimnin dazlu medinas hayam. Or maybe what happens is they don't die, the Edom don't die, but they go overseas and you can't find them. So therefore, it was giving an Eitza Tova. So it's saying, according to Rabbi Lazar, who says you don't need signatures on the get, why? Because the critical idea is that you need to hand it over, but yet it's a good idea, it's Tikkun Olam, that you should sign the signatures on it, and therefore he's going to draw from the story of Yirmiyahu that it was simply good advice that they should sign the shtaros. Why? Because remember what's going on here. They were about to go into Golos. They would come back. Maybe you're not going to find the Edim that observed the transaction, so you should at least have papers that can show a paper trail for what you purchased. So similarly, when a man gives a get, he should make sure he has signatures on it so that he has, the woman actually would want that there's greater opportunity to be able to prove the case later on. Rav Yosef says, Afilu temu l'Rav Meir. You can even say that it's going to Rav Meir. And Rav Meir is the one who holds that you do need signatures on the get. So therefore, we go back to our question, that why does it say it's Tikkun Olam that you should get signatures? We see it as a requirement in Tanakh. You see it from the story with Yirmiyahu. So why would you tell me it's Tikkun Olam? It seems to be a requirement that you need signatures, especially according to Rav Meir, who's the one who always says that you need signatures in order for the get to be valid. So he says, so what's the Tikkun Olam part? Hiskinu shehei edim mefarshin shmoseim begitin. That they made a takana that the witnesses should spell out their names in Gittin Mipnei Tikkun Olam because of Tikkun Olam. So what was So in other words, you're right. You need signatures on a get in order for it to be valid, according to our mayor. So what was the tikkun olam? What was the fix? Is that they would actually write their names on the get. So why? Kedesanya, like we learn in a brisa, barishona hayakosev ani ploni chasamti aid. So what used to happen? For whatever reason, they would write, I, Plony, they would write Plony. They didn't say their name. Sometimes Plony substitutes his name. They said, I, Plony, signed as an aide. But it doesn't say who was Plony. It doesn't say that it was Shimon or whoever it was. So, therefore, what would happen? Im ksaz yado yodse mi makam acher kasher. If they happened to find in Bezdin's filing cabinet of signatures, they found these aidim, that the Edom had previously certified their own signature, then Bezdin would be able to do it. Now remember, this before the days of, you know, computerized handwriting analysis, they would have to go through their drawers and say, did we have anything from these Edom? And if they didn't have it, too bad. Why? Because they didn't know who the Edom were. V'im lav, if they couldn't find Edom, puzzle, it'd be puzzle. So Amar Rabbi Gamliel said, takana gedola hiskinu, they made a great takana, sheyu mefarshin shmoiseim begitin, that they would spell out their names in the Gittin, so they would write so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, mipnei tikkun olam, because of tikkun olam. What would be the tikkun olam here? Because if it says so-and-so, this person signed the get, so now you have lots of options. You can go find that person, you can go find people who knew that person, you can go find documents that were previously certified by that person, but if you're just looking for a needle in the haystack where you have someone who signed, I, Plony, signed, was witness this get, you'd have to go look through all your papers and see, do I have any signatures that look like this? So that was the tikkun olam. So there was a requirement that there be a signature, but there was no requirement that they actually say their name. And therefore the takana was that they should put their names in when they sign on the thing.
Why wouldn't they put their name?
Good question. I don't know. Well, we're going to see in a minute. People didn't put their name. The Gemara says, we see mana lo. Are you telling me that there was a takana that they needed to write their names in the Gittin? Are you telling me it wasn't insufficient for them to put a symbol? What kind of symbol? V'harav, but we see that Rav, Tsair Kavra, that Rav used to sign with the image of a fish. His signature was a fish picture. Reb Chanina Tsair Charusa, Rashi says Charusa is Anaf Shaldekel, a branch of a palm tree or date tree. Reb Chista used to sign with a Samach, with the letter Samach. Reb Hoshaya Ayin, he used to put an Ayin. So each of them, Reb Chista, you see, has a Samach in his name. Reb Hoshaya has an Ayin in his name. Rababar, Reb Huna, Tsair, Makusa. Rashi says Makusa is Vilon Svina, the curtain of a boat, meaning a sail. The sail of a sailboat. So the question was, you see here, we just said that there was a takana, people needed to sign their name, and yet you see that they do these symbols. So we say, Shani Rabbanan de Bekian Simanayu. We say, those Rabbanim are different because everyone knew Rav Chista signs with a Samach, Rav signs with a fish, so it was enough. So the Gemara asks a good question. The Gemara says, May Karba Mayafkinu. He says, okay, fine. So you're telling me at some point everyone recognized that Rav signed with a fish and Rav Chista with a Samach, but when they first started to do that, no one knew who it was. So how did they ever get started if you always need to spell out the name? So the Gemara says, Bediski. And Rashi explains that Diski is Shtari Shaila Sechuvas, that they didn't used to do it on their formal documents, but people would send them a Shaila and they would send back a Tshuva and Rav would sign it with a fish. And Vishlomos is, I guess, social correspondence, so that they used to use these Simanim. After a while, people got used to it and then they were able to use those Simanim in even in their Eidos and more formal documents. So I guess this is early signature or early source for signing with just an X if someone doesn't know how to sign. But this actually brought lehalacha. The Rashash and Chulin seems to understand that literally people could sign a get with a symbol. Others get into, you see a lot of machloksim about whether the Edom can sign with Ksav Ashuris or Ksav Rashi. So it seems that they take this a little less literally for people to be able to use symbolism in their signatures. Okay. So we're going back to our Mishnah, Hillel Hiskin Prusbol. Hillel set up the institution of a Prusbol. And let's remind ourselves, a Prusbol, we've encountered it many, many times, but is the idea that before Shemitah is coming, Shemitah, according to the Torah, cancels debts. So if someone owes someone money and Shemitah comes along, he no longer has to pay it back. And the Torah says, you have to be careful that it's not when Karva Shnasa Sheva Shnasa Shemitah, that when the Shemitah is approaching, people shouldn't hold back from lending, and said you should still lend, even though it could get canceled. And what happened? They saw Hillel saw that people were in fact holding back and they weren't doing it and they were being over on this Issa D'Oraisa. So they set up this mechanism by which you could take your shtar chov, you could take the debt that someone owes you, you deposit it with the Beis Din, you hand it over to the Beis Din at some level, at which point the Beis Din authorizes you to collect it. And so what happens? Why is that help? Because the Torah says that you, lo yigas, that you shouldn't press your brother, achicha, that you shouldn't push him to collect. So the answer is now you're not collecting for yourself, you're collecting on behalf of Beis Din. That's the mechanism, the basic mechanism of a prusbol. So Hillel Hiskin, prusbol, Hillel established a prusbol. Tanan Hassan, we learned there, prusbol einam eshamet, that the fact that if someone signs a prusbol and gives their shtarechov over to Beis Din, that shvias is not meshamet, that shmita doesn't cancel the loan. Zeh echad min advarim shehiskin Hillel hazaken, this is one of the things that Hillel hazaken was mesaken, shirah sa'am shenimnum milahava zeh zeh, because he saw that people were holding back from lending one another, va'avra mashakasa b'torah, and they were being over, they were violating that which it said in the Torah, hisham lecha, watch yourselves, penyia davarim levavcha b'li'al, whether you'll have a bad thought in your heart, and the pasuk continues and says, "Lemar karvash nasa sheva shnasa shmita." That is, shmita is approaching. V'ra'i necha b'achicha, your eyes will be negative to your brother. Ha'evyon, the poor person, v'leisitin lo, and you won't give him the loan. V'kara alecha el Hashem, you'll cry to Hashem. Ha'hebucha chet, you'll have a chet. So basically, Hillel saw that people were being over on this pasuk. Amad v'hiskin prusbol, and he stood up and he was misakin the concept of a prusbol. V'zeh hu gufo shel prusbol. This is the basic mechanism or language that you use for a prusbol as follows. Musrani lachem ploni dayanim shebemakam ploni shek. I give over to you so and so judges that are in that are in this certain place. Shekolchov sheyeshli etzol ploni, that any debt that so and so owes me sheagbenu, that I can collect it kolzman sheerza, anytime I want, meaning because he can collect it as an agent of Beis Din. V'hadayanim, the judges chosmen lamato o aedim, either the judges or the witnesses would sign on the bottom. And so we've seen, you know, every year Shemitah, we still do a prusbol. You sign, you fill in the name, and then you have the three Edim or Dayanim, who sign, the three Dayanim or the Edim who would sign on the bottom. So now, the Gemara asks, this is a very sadistic sugya here. The Gemara wants to know, how is it that they could set up this system of prusbol? Because the Torah says that our debts are canceled on Shavuos. And how is it that you can set something up to basically uproot the Torah's intent or rule? The Gemara asks, is there such a thing? The midaraisa mishamta shvias, that minatora shmita cancels the debts. The hiskin hilo the lo mishamta, and hilo should set up some mechanism to say, I know the Torah said that debts get canceled, but they don't really get canceled. You could use a prusbol. Who gave hilo that right to do it? So Amar Abaya says, when did Hillel say you could do this? It wasn't when Shemitah min HaTorah, when the biblical Shemitah was in effect, but rather b'shvias b'zman hazeh v'rebi hi. When did Hillel make a takana? Only in modern day Shemitah time, and it's according to the opinion of Rebbe. What does that mean? The Sanya, because we learned Rebbe Omer, Rebbe learned from the Pasuk. It says, the Pasuk says in Devarim, v'zeh dvar Shemitah shamot. This is, the Pasuk says, Zedvar Shemitah, this is the matter of Shemitah, Shamot Ko Bamashe Yado, anyone who is a creditor should cancel Asher Yasha Bereyeo, so all of that, but basically you see it uses the words, Zedvar Shemitah Shamot, it uses the word Shemitah twice, so we learn from there, Beshte Shemitah Sakasu Medaber, that the Pasuk is making a hekesh. It's talking about two different types of Shemitah. What are the two types of Shemitah? Achas Shemitas Karka, v'achas Shemitas Ksafim. One is that we have the Shemitah of Karka. We all know that's the basic case of Shemitah is in the seventh year. You have to leave your fields fallow and you can't harvest them or plant them. So that's Shemitas Karka. And now there's Shemitas Ksafim, which is also the money that gets cut off. And Rashi points out that this is not something, a davar that's tali ba'aretz. This is a personal obligation that you need to cancel these debts. But because the pasuk makes a hekesh, and it talks about the two shmitas in one pasuk, so bizman she'ata mishamet karka, ata mishamet ksafim, bizman she'iata mishamet karka, iata mishamet ksafim. Now basically, we learn from there, Rebbe learns a hekesh that says these two types of Shemitah are related. So if we're at a period in time when Shemitah is in effect, then also the Shemitah's Ksafim is in effect, Minat Torah. And if it's a time that Shemitah of the fields is not in effect biblically, then also Shemitah's Ksafim is not in effect biblically. So what would be that? Rashi spent some time talking about it, but the basic concept is, for sure, when the Yidden are in exile, then Shemitah, in other words, if we're not in Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah doesn't apply. Rashi says, but what about the fact that Hillel HaZaken himself lived in the Zman of the Bayis Sheni? So he was Masakin, and we did have Shemitah because we were living in Eretz Yisrael. So he says this would be according to the opinion that the Zman of the Bayis Sheni, Shemitah didn't apply Midoraisim in a Torah. Why? Because Yovel wasn't in place. Why? Because all of the 10 tribes didn't come back to Eretz Yisrael for the second Beis HaMikdash, so therefore Yovel didn't apply. If Yovel didn't apply, Shemitah didn't apply. If Shemitah of Karka didn't apply, then Shemitah of Ksafim, this cancellation of debts, didn't apply. So what have we established so far? That there was a period of time when Shemitah was only the Rabbanon, and since there's a hekesh of Shemitah Karka and Shemitah of money, that was also only the Rabbanon, so it turned on a base. B'takinu Rabbanon, d'teshamet zecher l'shvias. So therefore, you had a derabanan halacha of Shemitah that you couldn't do the fields. So therefore, they also made a derabanan halacha that debts should be canceled. So the fact that debts were being canceled was not Minat Torah, it was only derabanan. Ra'a Hillel. So at that point, Hillel saw that under this rabbinic declaration, shenimnu ha'am milahavo zeh, that people were not wanting to lend each other before Shvius, v'amad v'hiskin prosbol, and therefore he established a prosbol. So what's the answer? So if you remember, our original question was, how could Hillel, if the Torah says all the debts get canceled, how could Hillel come and say they don't get canceled, and you have a prosbol? The answer is, when did Hillel cancel the cancellation of debts? When it was a derabanan, when it was a halacha derabanan. But you're right, if it would be minat Torah, then he doesn't have within his ability to cancel the Torah's halacha that the debts are canceled, and it's only the Rabbanan that he can cancel. So the Gemara asks, you went from the frying pan into the fire. You didn't really help yourself. Why? He's saying, okay, so you answered the question of how you could cancel debts, how you could uncancel debts if the Torah said, but now you have an opposite problem. So what happened? The Rabbanan established that you should be Meshamet Ksafim. The Rabbanan established that Minat Torah, there's no Shemitah, and therefore debts don't cancel. But the Rabbanan decided debts should cancel. Who gave the Rabbanan the right to basically tell a borrower? Rashi explained that you're giving borrowers the opportunity to be thieves, because you're saying they don't have to pay back. Who said they don't have to pay back? What right did the Rabbanan have to say that the creditors can't collect? The Torah didn't say that. So how could the Rabbanan say it? Amar Abaya, shevi al tasehu. Abaya says the reason they were able to do that, the Rabbanan could say that there is a Rabbanan kind of halacha that debts get canceled, is because we know that the Chachamim have the right to go against the Torah. B'shevi al tasehu. If they say, just don't do anything. So they can't affirmatively cancel. And Rashi points to classic examples. For example, the fact that Minat Torah, you could blow the shofar on Shabbos, but we say you don't. How is it? Why? Because you might carry. How is it that the Rabbanan could say the Torah says you should blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and the Rabbanan say you don't? Because if it's just telling you sit back and do nothing, that's considered acceptable, even if it's a deraisa. So how does that apply here? The question was, how could you say that Shemitah de Rabbanan cancels debts if really the debt is owed by the debtor to the creditor? What right do you, Rabbanan, have to say that those debts are canceled? The answer is, because what are the Rabbanan doing? The Rabbanan are telling the debtor, don't pay your creditor, just sit back and ignore him. We told you can ignore him. So what are they doing? They're telling him to sit there and do nothing. So if it's Shevi Al-Tasa, that's acceptable, and they could go against the Torah. So even though Minat Torah, there's a chiyuv, there's an obligation to pay back debts that you owe, in this case, they're going to tell him, don't worry, because we made a derabanan type of halacha of cancellation of debts, and therefore you don't need to pay it back. So that's answer number one to explanation of how Hillel went against the Torah, was only, he didn't cancel Shemitah deraisa, he only canceled Shemitah derabanan. If it's Shemitah derabanan, who gave them the right to cancel the halacha that people need to pay back their debts? Shevi al-Tasa, that if the Chachamim are just telling someone to sit still and do nothing, that's acceptable. Okay, now we're going to get to a second teretz. Rava Amar Rava says, Hefker Bezin Hefker, and I'm sure many of you were expecting this answer, says, so the question is, and this is going to answer both questions, how could Hillel, if the Torah says Shemitah cancels, how could Hillel say it doesn't cancel? And if we're talking about the only Shemitah Darabanan, how could the Rabbanan set up Shemitah if there's an obligation to pay back your debts? Who said the Rabbanan could tell someone they don't need to pay back the debts? The answer to both is Hefker Bezin Hefker, which we've encountered many times. The idea that monetary matters are within the realm of Bezdin or the realm of the Chachamim to be Mafker. And again, this is tied in. I referenced this 3 weeks ago or so when we learned the sugya of about a wife who writes the get on her own paper for the husband, and they said that they transfer ownership of the paper to the husband. It had to do with this question of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, as Machlokas in the Achronim. Is it that you can take money from one person and be mafker it, or can you take it from one person and actually assign it to another person? So this Gemara is one of the sources for the idea that you should be able to add that Hefker Bezdin Hefker is not just that they can be mafker someone's money, but that they can actually reallocate it to someone else. Shvius Bezman says Drabanim, but Hefker Bezin Hefker would explain under either scenario, whether you understood it to be Hillel canceling a Deoraisa de Kedin, is saying Hillel could have been Mesakin, and that's very relevant actually because not everyone agrees that the Zman Bayasheni, that Shemitah didn't apply Minatorah. So the question would be if you hold that Shemitah applied Minatorah in the time of the second bias, how is it that Hillel established Prozbul because he lived in the Zman of the second bias? The answer would be, Hefker Bezin Hefker says that even though Midoraisa, the debts get canceled, the Rabbanan created through Prozbul a mechanism by which they reallocate money from debtors to creditors. Why did they do that? So that people would continue to lend money and that they wouldn't be over on the halacha. Okay, so now we're going to see, we've referenced Hefker Bezin Hefker many times, and probably none of us really remembered the source for that. So let's see the source. The Amr of Yitzhak, Rav Yitzhak says, Minayin Shehefker Bezin Hefker, how do I know this concept that Bezin has the right to be mafkir people's monetary assets? Shenem Rav Achol Asher Lo Yavol L'Shalosh Yisuyamim Katzas Asarim V'Azikenim Yechram Kol Rechusho V'Hu Yigbadol Mikal HaGola. It says, all those who don't come in 3 days, in accordance with the advice of the princes and the elders, all of his treasure, his rechush, should be cherem, and he is separated from the kahal agola. What's this talking about? So at the very end, the last parak of Ezra, we had Ezra was crying over the people and the status of where they were, and Shechaniah came to him, and then this issue that he was crying over was that they had many of them had taken non-Jewish wives, and Shechaniah came to Ezra and said, no, we're going to fix it, and they got together, and he energized Ezra to address the issue again, and so they called everyone together, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah called everyone together and said, everyone has to come in 3 days, and we're going to get rid of our non-Jewish wives, and anyone who doesn't come, we're going to take away all of their treasure, all of their riches and their wealth. So the question is, you know, what do you see, what right did they have to take away as rechush? And the idea, Rashi says, well, since it was the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, that Chachamim, you see from here, that Chachamim have the opportunity or the ability to forfeit people's money. That's how they were able to say, anyone who doesn't show up at this gathering is going to lose all of his money. So that's the source number one for Hefker Bezin Hefker. What is that?
He did not have a din of melech.
No, he was the Navi, and he was the Kohen, but he wasn't the Melech. Rabbi Elazar says, Mehacha, I'll give you a different pasuk for the idea that Bezdin, Hefker Bezdin Hefker, Elu Anachlos Asher Nachlu, Elazar Akon Yeshua Benum V'Rosh Elvas. It's talking that when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, it said these are the inheritances that were given over as inheritance by Elazar Akon Yeshua Benun, V'Rosh Elvas. And it says, and the fathers of the Avos, the Pasuk continues, V'Rashe Avos L'Matos B'nei Yisrael, the heads of the Avos, which is like the patriarchal relationship, Avram Yisrael Yaakov, L'Matos B'nei Yisrael, to the tribes of B'nei Yisrael. So, and the Gemara asks, V'chima Inyan Roshim Eitzel Avos, what's the point of saying the word Avos by Roshim? Rashi says, why don't you just say, Rashi Matos B'nei Yisrael, the heads of the tribes of B'nei Yisrael. Why are you bringing in the Avos in this pasuk that's talking about dividing up Eretz Yisrael? It says, Lomer lecha to tell you, Ma Avos Manchilon B'neim Kol Masha Yirtu, Af Rashi Manchilon Am Kol Masha Yirtu. So basically the idea is a father has the ability, even though Minat Torah, there's an order, there's a way that there is inheritance, goes double to the oldest son and split between the others. A father has the opportunity to designate a different distribution of his wealth. So you see, the role and function of a father is that he could take money from one person and assign it to another, even without any form of kinyan. So too was the idea that just like a father could do that to his son, that at the time that they initially gave out Eretz Yisrael, so what would happen? Moshe Rabbeinu set up, they divided it into the parts of each Shvatim, but then they had the princes or the head of each tribe separated and said, you know, Shimon, you have this, and Reuven, you have that, and Levi, you have that. Well, not literally the Shvatim, but just regular people. So the idea would be, and no one could complain and say, no, really, my chelek is over there. So the answer is, whatever the Chachamim decided, this is yours, and this is yours, and this is yours, that's the way it was, and you couldn't argue with it. So what do you see? You see that Chachamim have the ability to assign assets, and no one can raise issue with it. Okay. Okay, now, a very interesting question. Yibai Lahu, they asked, Ki hiskin Hillel Prusbo, Ladare hu detakin, Odum ladare amon nami takin. When Hillel was misakin this concept of Prusbo, did he do it for all time, or did he do it just for the people living in his generation at that time? L'maynach yumina, what's the would be the difference? L'vatule. In order to abolish this thing, Iyam ladare hu detakin mivatlina le. If you say he only did it for his generation, then you should be able to cancel it. But if you're going to say that he did it for all time, we know the basic concept is that if a Bezdin makes a takana for all time, that the only way you can cancel it is if you're bigger, that you're bigger both in wisdom and in number, and clearly there is no Bezdin that came after the Zman of Hillel that would be able to cancel something that Hillel did, if he did it for all generations. So the critical question is, did he do it only for his generation, or did he do it for all generations? The Mefarshim, the Rishonim explained that when it says for his, and we're going to see this in the Gemara basically, that when it says for his generation doesn't mean the idea that as long as he lived and when he died, Prusbol ended. It means, do you have something that for his time was a concern? So in other words, it's saying, like, why did Hillel do it? Hillel did it because he saw people were at a level where even though the Torah says, Kavar Shnasa Sheva Shnasa Shmita, that you shouldn't hold back from lending, they were holding back from lending. But let's say Klal Yisrael would get stronger, and people would be able to withstand this Nisayon, and in fact they would not hold back from lending as it approached Shvius. Could a Bezdin go and cancel it? So the question is, the difference is, either way it needs to be canceled in order for it to stop. The question is it a determination by a Bezdin that the people are in a better place and that's sufficient? Or do you need Galda B'chachma V'minyan, which basically is a theoretical construct because you're not going to find a subsequent Bezdin that's Galda B'chachma V'minyan from Hillel? So the Gemara says, my, what's the halacha? So we're going to try and bring Raya's. Tashma, come in here, Damar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Loi kasvinam prosbol, ela ibe beidina de sura, ibe beidina de nardai. The only place you can write a prosbol is in the Bezdin of sura, which Rashi says is who? Rav was the head of Sura. Ibe Beidina de Nardai, or Nardai, and who is the head of Nardai? Shmuel. Shmuel is saying about it, his own generation that basically you can only do it in those Batei Din. What were unique about those Batei Din? These were Batei Din that had the power independent of the Prusbol. Basically, if you had very significant Batei Din, they had the ability to reallocate money. A regular Bezdin, we can't go three of us and sit down and say, Hefker Bezdin Hefker, we need the house next door for the building fund, it's ours. You can't do that. Only certain Batei Din could do it. So Rav and Shmuel were at that level. So they said, a Prusbol, you could only do a Prusbol in these places. So the Gemara says, V'isokadaitach l'dori amo nami takin b'shar b'nei nami lechtavu. He says, so if you're right that Hillel was misakin this for all generations, how could it be in the time of Shmuel that he was saying only these but they didn't can do it? If Hillel was misakin it for all generations, it must be that he only did it for his generation, and therefore Shmuel was saying that in this generation Hillel's takana no longer applies, But in the Beis Din of Rav and Shmuel, you could do it because they are big enough Batei Din that they can do, they can reallocate money. So the Gemara says, no, that's no raya. Dilma ki takin hilal dariyama, that maybe Hillel was Masakin hilal dariyama for all generations, but kegon beidina didei ucharebami verabasi. The alima, I'm sorry, ucharebami verabasi, the alima lafkui mamono, avalukule yama lo. He says, maybe when Hillel was Masakin Prisbol, he was Masakin it for those Batei Din that are at a level that they're able to be mafkia mamon, they're able to take money from one person and give it to another, those are the Batei Din that are capable of taking a prusbol. And so it's no raya that Hillel only did it for his generation. Maybe he did it for all generations, but all generations, as long as it is a kind of Beis Din that is a significant Beis Din, is able to do these monetary reallocations. So there's no raya from there whether Hillel did it for all generations or just for his. So we'll try again. Tashma, come in here. Damar Shmuel, that Shmuel says, Ha Prisbol, this Prisbol, Ulbana de Dainahu. It's the, we're gonna see, the Gemara is gonna ask, two options about what Ulban means, but basically the conclusion is that it's a disgrace, or it's a shame of the Dayanim. Basically, he's saying, it's not miscarriage of justice, but it's something we'd be better off without. And that makes sense, because Hillel was masakin it, because people were failing, not because it should be that way. Minatora, you should have cancellation of debts. So he says, if I had more strength, if my strength was stronger, avat line, I would cancel it. By the way, this is a very interesting language. You see, there's a huge machlokas about kitnias. And the Yaivitz, who would quote from his father, the Chacham Tzvi, who thought we should cancel the idea that we don't eat kitnias, he uses such a language. He said, if I had enough kayach, I would be mevatel this takana, not to eat kitnias. But he also acknowledged that most people didn't agree with him, so that's why we still don't eat it. But in any event, the Gemara says, ivatlinei, are you telling me that Shmuel will be mevatel it? V'hayin bezin yachal avatel divrei bezin chaver olam ken gadol amenu v'chokmah v'minyan. How could Shmuel cancel it if we know that you can't cancel something unless you're greater v'chokmah v'minyan? So how could he cancel that which Hillel was masakin? It must be that Hillel was only masakin it for his generation. And therefore, Shmuel would be, theoretically, if he had enough kach, would be able to cancel it, because it must be they didn't do it for all generations, and Hillel could make the determination that we're in a better place now. So therefore, that seems to be a raya, that Hillel only did it for his generation, and that's why Shmuel would be able to uproot it, even though he's not greater b'chachma b'minyan. So we say, no, that's no raya. Hachi kamar, iya yasher chayo, yoser mehillel, avat lino. All he was saying is, in theory, if I would be stronger than Hillel, I would be mevatel it, because I don't think we should have it. But that doesn't mean that he actually had the koach to be mevatel it. Rav Nachman amar, Rav Nachman says, akaimena, that I would actually, I would be mekayim this, institution of Prisbol. The Gemara says, akaimena, hamekayim v'koy, that it's already standing. What does that mean? You'll let it stand. It's already standing. So what are you talking about? So Hachi Kamar Emo Be Milsa, I would add something to it. I would say something in it. That even though, in other words, right now we say in order to have a prusbol, you have to sign the prusbol and get the dayan to sign it. Rav Nachman said, I would even make it, if I had the power, I would make it such that you don't even need to sign it. Automatically, Shvius is not Meshamet, because of the where we are in our generation. Okay, so very quickly, Ba'iluhu, the Gemara asked, Hai obona lishna de chutzbahu or lishna de chutzahu? So we said before that Shmuel said that it's the elbow of judges, which we translated as the shame of judges. So the Gemara is asking, does it mean chutzpah, that it's really something wrong the judges are doing? Or does elbow mean nechusa, which just means like it's easier? So what would happen? Before Shvias, Beis Din would be very busy because everyone would be coming and saying, I want to give you my debts. And so they would be busy. I'm sorry. They wanted to collect their debts before Shvias, before it's Meshamet, and it would make a backlog on Beis Din. So therefore, Beis Din would establish Prisbol so that they wouldn't have to deal with all this, and people could just sign a Prisbol and they'll collect their debts later. That was the question. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Damar Ula, we see if it says, Ula says, Aluva Kalash Azinsa Bekerav Chupasa. That it's the shame of a bride that she's Mezaneh, while she's still underneath the chuppah. What is this a reference to? Rashi explains, this is a reference to Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael went under the chuppah with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them the Torah at Har Sinai, and we see they camped at Har Sinai till the second year. So what does that mean? If they were there for an entire year, then the ego, which happened right after Matan Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up, Matan Tori went out for 40 days. He came down. They did the ego. You see that they were over Avodah Zarah at the chuppah, still at Har Sinai. You see Klal Yisrael did it. So you see this lashon of aluva is a shame. Because just like it's shameful that a bride should be mezana under a chuppah. Amar Rav Mari brought the Bashmuel. Rav Mari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, so Shmuel's grandson, said, "Mikra, what's the pasuk that we see this concept? Acha Melech b'Mesibo. While the Melech is still at his Mesibo at the chuppah, Rashi says, Nerdi Nasan Recho. That the perfume gives out its scent, it stops smelling good. Meaning the idea that while the king is still at the chuppah, Klal Yisrael went off. And that's a pasuk you see a remez. Amar Rava, Adayin Chavivuso Hu Gabon. You still see, even though this pasuk was essentially criticizing Klal Yisrael for the idea that they were mezane, so to speak, by doing Avodah Zarah still at the chuppah, you see that the Ribbono Shel Olam still loves the Yidden. Why? Dechsiv Nasam V'lo Ksiv Hisriach. Because it says that the perfume has given off its smell, the smell has gone away, but it doesn't say that the smell is spoiled. So you see, even though Klal Yisrael did something bad, and they lost a little bit of their smell, that it wasn't considered spoiled. The rest...
The pasuk says older than that in that pasuk? Is that what...
No. It's saying this is a concept, you see a concept of Klal Yisrael. In other words, where do you get this idea that Klal Yisrael was mezana tachas chuppah, is you see Amalek b'mesibo. All right, we'll have to pick up tomorrow where we left off.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, wow.